Yeah. Thanks, Nigel. Right. Then I'll begin. We are still looking at the fruit of the Spirit. We're still looking at what God does in us and through us. And I just want to read this portion of Scripture out afresh. Because when we look at what it says about the fruits of the Spirit, love, joy, peace, and the rest of it, it always encourages me when I look up at Scripture and I look down at Scripture and the right and the left, and you just get some context into what is being said here. And it just came to amuse me, not in a ha-ha funny way, but it says in Galatians 5:13, just before it talks about the fruit of the Spirit, it says, "You, my brothers and sisters, were called to be free, but do not use your freedom." Thank you, my glamorous assistant. I can move that over if I need to. That'll come. Thank you very much. You, my brothers and sisters, were called to be free, but do not use your freedom to indulge in the flesh. So when we look at what's being said to us, we should live by the Spirit, we need to also understand what it is to live by the flesh. And it goes into some detail. Serve one another humbly in love. Now that's a good thing, for the entire law is fulfilled in keeping this one commandment. Love your neighbor as yourself. There's a sermon all in its own there. If you bite and devour each other, watch out, or you might be devoured by each other. So I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. So if we want to walk by the Spirit and not gratify the desires of the flesh, the question is, how do we not gratify the desires by walking by the Spirit? And that's why it's important to look at what God's Word said and digest it. And it goes on to tell us some of the things that are contrary to the Spirit. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law, it says in 18. The acts of the flesh is obvious, and it goes into things that are obvious and things that aren't obvious. And then it talks about the fruit of the Spirit in 22. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, forbearance, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such things there is no law. Those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh and its passions and desires. Since we live by the Spirit, let us keep in step with the Spirit. Let us not become conceited, provoking, or envying each other. We have been set free. We are able to walk by the Spirit, and we need to come to the Lord daily, I suggest. And we want to look at one of these fruits, which is peace. When we talk about peace, I look around the room, and if you've been a Christian any length of time, you will know there are circumstances and situations that come up that rob us of our peace. When we look at peace in a natural sense. I'd done a study on peace some years ago, and I was trying to get the right words in order to describe the peace that transcends all understanding, that peace that God is talking about. And one person said, you know, you could be in a field somewhere and the birds are singing and the rabbits are doing whatever rabbits do and running. Now I know. Running. See, I know where your minds go. And running and jumping and leaping. That could be peaceful, but that's not the peace we're talking about. You could be in an area where it's total silence. And that's peace, but that's not the peace we're talking about. You could be sitting beside a stream where you can hear the water and it's soothing. That could be peace, but that's not the peace we're talking about. The peace we're talking about is when you're in the storm of life, when the wind is raging all around you, when nothing seems to go right, when family members are doing things that you don't want family members to do, something's happening at work, your colleagues are doing this, your relationships seem to be falling to bits, and yet, in the midst of all that, we're told to have peace. That's the peace that transcends all understanding. That's the peace that we're talking about as a fruit of the Spirit. Because any one of us can just sit in a quiet room, but that's not the peace we're talking about. So I want to lay that foundation. Now, I came across this scripture in Malachi, and it really encouraged me. And there again, if you look at a scripture, don't isolate it. Read above it, read beneath it, read around it. Look at who they're speaking to and what the context of it is, and you'll get far more out of it. I'm fortunate because I have the opportunity to do so. It says in Malachi 2:6, it says, "True instruction was in his mouth, and nothing false was found on his lips. He walked with me in peace and uprightness, and turned many from sin." And if you go up to verse 5, it says, "My covenant was with him, a covenant of life and peace." And so I started to dig into this portion of scripture. Now, I've done something that I don't normally do, and I've written something down, and I trust that I'll be able to read what I've actually written. So bear with me. We're talking about the priesthood here. And when you read through scripture, you know that God pulled out a tribe, the Levites, to be his priests, to serve and to serve people around them. And there's a standard that God called them to. There's a standard that God calls us to. We are priests of the living God. We have access to God through the curtain that was torn and the blood that was shed. But in this time, we're talking about the royal priesthood here. And there were certain things they were supposed to do. And then we look at this attitude of peace. Now, let me just read something out. It says, "True priests, they teach the truth, they avoid deceit, they walk in peace and integrity, they turn people away from sin, they set a standard for spiritual leadership, but these priests were not being obedient to God's standards, they were not teaching the truth, they did not have integrity, they were robbing God by withholding their tithes and their offerings, so they were not walking in peace." So in this portion of scripture here, to walk in peace, the peace that God is talking about here, we need to be those that are upright in our faith, that are doing the right thing, even though we struggle at times. There are things that the Lord asks us to do. It says, keep short accounts with each other. Keep short accounts with him. And if we want that peace that transcends all understanding, that we can't comprehend it, I suggest that there's some of the things we need to do. So God says through the Ten Commandments, do not do this, doesn't he? Do not do this, do not do that. And I remember listening to a radio phone-in, and there was phoning in, that was either, I think it was Jay John that was on the other end of the phone, and this woman rang in, and she said, "Well, I don't like this God of yours, because he tells me I can't do things." And he said, "Oh, I couldn't see him, I'm just imagining how he is." He goes, "I've not seen that one." She says, "Yes, you have. Those commandments, do not do these things." He went, "Do not do. No, I've not seen them ones. Where are they?" She said, "They're in the Bible," when she's getting irate. And then all of a sudden he goes, "Do not do. Oh, I've got the ones. Do not murder, or you could be sentenced to death. Do not commit adultery. You could lose your relationship, your marriage, your friendships, your employment. Do not give false testimony. Do not. I know the ones you mean. They're the ones God put in place so that you can walk in peace." Do you see the difference? So they're not rules and regulations. This peace that transcends all understanding, that the Levitical priesthood could walk into if they kept the statutes that God had. Now, we don't live under the Old Testament where we are compelled to give a tithe and an offering. You know, for some people a tithe is too little and others a tithe is not enough. We're given an opportunity to give a free will offering. But in those days, it was classed as robbing God. How have I robbed you, Lord? By withholding. How have I robbed you, Lord? By not walking in the peace that I've given you. By not having preaching the truth. So these priests were leading others astray. And when we lead others astray, we lose the peace of God. So as those that are in any form of leadership, we are doubly accountable. You know, we're accountable because we know the truth. And we're communicating a lie. So this is peace that I want to talk about. And there's certain things in our lives, if we're not in that place of peace, then maybe we can examine ourselves. I know I have to on a regular basis. You know, I'm just not, there's something that's not sitting right with me. And then when I start to dig down into my attitude or my life or my lifestyle or whatever things I'm doing, I know I'm being not doing what God wants me to do. I know that God wants me to read his word in the mornings or in the afternoon or in the evenings. And if I have a day where it's really busy and I don't read his word, then there's something missing in my life. Maybe different for you, but that's me. I'm going, yes, I should have just given those few moments. You know, maybe I'm going on a journey or I'm going into something, and normally I just pray and lay it down before the Lord and say, Father, go before me. And there's something in my mind and it's racing and I don't have that peace. Well, then the Holy Spirit speaks to me and I realize what it is. Now imagine what it's like if you're doing some of the things that was being taught there with the idolatry and the witchcraft. Imagine if as Christians and people we see, they're walking that way and we wonder why we don't have that peace that transcends all understanding. Now, that's the extreme, isn't it? And there's hopefully nobody that's living in that way. But if we bring it right back to, you draw near to me and I'll draw near to you. That's something that God calls us to do. So as we draw near to him, that's when that peace comes. Does that make sense? So that's the peace we're talking about. So I don't want to lead you astray and just go, you know, come to Jesus and all will be well. No, it's a journey. It will be well, but be well with your soul. You know, you can walk through the trial and tribulation and God will help you through those tough times. And so often we're looking for that peace in all the wrong places. I want to share in Luke 2:14, it says, glory to God in the highest heaven and on earth peace to those whom his favor rests. And I suggest that as you dig down into scripture, you will see who his favor rests on. Now, this portion of scripture is worth looking at, because suddenly there was a great company of the heavenly host appeared with the angel praising God, saying, these are shepherds. I heard an interesting statistic. I haven't looked into it, so I don't know if it's just fiction. I'll get Mike onto it. Someone was saying that when the shepherds, when the angel of the Lord appeared to the shepherds, it could be that these particular shepherds that were chosen were looking after the sacrificial lambs and the sacrificial sheep that were due to be sacrificed on the sacrificial altars as an atonement. Now that would be a nice story, wouldn't it? Here's the Lamb of Life, the Lamb of God who came down to be that sacrifice, and the angel appearing to the shepherds who are looking after those sacrifices. That would be an interesting story. However, it goes on to talk about the glory of God. The glory of God that is in heaven coming to earth. Peace to those on whom his favor rests. Now you need to ask the question, who does his favor rest on? I'm glad you asked. Because God teaches us, shows us. In John 14:27, it says, peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you. I do not give as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled. Do not be afraid. And it's sometimes when I speak to people, I don't want to come across flippant, because sometimes we are afraid of certain things. We are fearful, but yet the Bible says, fear not. We are troubled, yet the Bible says, do not be troubled. We know we should be at peace, but there's turmoil going on. But when we understand that peace that we have with God, we know that we're redeemed, yes? We know that if there's heaven and there's hell and we're heaven bound, there can be a peace within us where we can say, death, where is your sting? Oh, death, where is your victory? We walk in the peace of God. Yes, I added that peace on because when we have true peace, we can only have peace through Christ Jesus. Our external circumstances and situations won't bring this peace. You can have a healthy bank balance, and I pray that you will. I pray you will have a healthy bank balance. I pray you'll have a healthy body and a healthy mind and a family that will support you and love you. These are external things that are all good and worth pursuing in the right way. But that won't bring you peace. That will bring you temporary pleasure, if you like, that you don't need to worry about where the next loaf of bread is coming from. These are all good things because God has favored us. But the peace that transcends all understanding is something we cannot comprehend yet we can live in it. We can grab it. We can say things like, my Redeemer lives. Because he lives, I live. Because he died and rose again, I will be risen again on the last day when the trumpet sounds. That I can have that peace because I know that I've put myself in a position where I'm right with God. And when we talk about righteousness, when the Bible speaks about righteousness, it's simply saying to have a right standing with God. And how do we have a right standing with God? It's not about what we do, it's about what he has done. And I know I'm preaching to the converted, but there may be one person that will listen to this online, or there may be one thing that sticks out to you that you think, I've never considered that before. So when we preach, you know, we preach the kingdom. We preach the kingdom, and because it's the Bible doesn't change, you're going to hear the same things time and time again. But because the Bible is alive and active, it will speak to you in a different way. I guarantee it. Peace I leave with you. Then Jesus is saying, my peace I give you. I do not give as the world gives. And these are not my words, they're his words. So there's a peace, an inner peace that can say, in the turmoil of life, all is well with my soul. Have you ever sat by the bedside of a dying man or a dying woman and they're in the Lord, they're a Christian? Well, if you get the opportunity, it's a true privilege. And I can remember many years ago, this is a public story, Karen won't mind me sharing it, it's too late now, she's not here. But she had a member of the extended family come to live with her and Bruce. And she was in her last weeks and months of life. And a wonderful Christian lady. And as she was on the bed in the sitting room or the spare room, Karen rang me and she said, would you come and pray? And I can't remember this lady's name, Mary. And would you come and pray with Mary? I know she would appreciate your prayers. She knows about you. She's never met you. And she cannot respond at the moment. She's not opening her eyes or saying anything. And I share this because I'm talking about the peace that transcends all understanding. So I went, and this is lady, she's ebbing away. And I remember just kneeling beside her bed, and I took her hand and I just prayed. And I remember the Lord saying through me, thank you. Well done, good and faithful servant. Thank you for your years of service, for the good times and the bad times, where the turmoil of life compelled you to move forward. Thank you. She opened her eyes, smiled, and I think within 2 days she'd passed away. And there's nothing to do with my prayers, but what I'm saying is this lady had peace. And it's a peace that you can't understand. And there's many other stories like that that I could share with you if I had time of the opportunity and the privilege I've had to hold the hand of someone that's dying in the Lord and see for myself this peace that I can't comprehend. So that's the peace we're talking about. Not the peace that the world gives, but the peace that God gives through Jesus Christ. So if you need peace in your life, get closer to him. It's a simple message, isn't it? It's that peace that transcends all understanding. It doesn't mean that you won't go through the ups and downs and the turmoil of life. It just means that there's something that will witness in your heart, witness in your spirit. And when you look into the story of Malachi, read it for yourself. You'll see the things that people of God were doing that God was disapproving of. And so he withheld his peace. And through the New Testament, we understand that God will never leave us or forsake us. But there are times where we take our hand out of his hand, but he won't take his hand out of our hand. So if you're in a position where you're going through a struggle, get closer to God. Get closer to God. Just say, Lord, help me. I want to walk with you. And I guarantee, because the Bible tells me I can, that as you get close to him, he will get closer to you. As you confess, he will forgive. As you walk, he'll walk with you. I know that to be true because he'll never leave you. He'll never forsake you. In Matthew 5, verse 9, it says this, blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called children of God. I can remember some years ago, someone saying to me, Andrew, I believe you've been called to be a peacemaker. You don't know me very well. But when we look at this portion of Scripture, blessed are the peacemakers. They're people that actively defuse conflict. So it's not just about they have a life of peace, because my life is not peaceful at times. But I don't like conflict. Do you? I don't like conflict. I don't like challenging people. But I will if I have to, because I'm a defender of the faith, I'm a defender of the truth, I'm a defender of the weak and the vulnerable where I can be. But when you're a peacemaker, in a biblical sense, that means there may be something going on with two members of your family, and God's called you to bring peace, to suck the attitude out of that one and the attitude out of that one, let it come through you and bring that healing, that balm. That's being a peacemaker. And the Bible says, blessed are those that bring peace. So if you haven't got it, you can't give it, yes? So if you're trying to witness to a family member about the joy and the peace of God, and yet you have no joy and no peace because of external circumstances, may I suggest before you go in to lead someone else, because the Bible says if the blind lead the blind, they'll both fall into a pit, that you just get closer to God. Doesn't mean we have to be perfect, because we're imperfect people serving a perfect God. It just means we recognize it. Lord, I want that peace. I want to be able to go in and bring and reconcile families. Now, how often do you say to yourself, well, they deserve it? Well, maybe they do, but so do I, don't I? You know, someone, I was listening to a Christian apologist, and he was in a university situation, and this student stood up and said, why, if God is sovereign, why don't he just get rid of all evil? And this guy says, well, you know what will happen if he does? She goes, what? He says, he'll start with you. He'll start with you. Why? Because we're evil. We don't deserve. That's what grace is, undeserved merit. So we want this peace, and I want to encourage you not just to walk in this peace, just as the Levitical priesthood were encouraged to, not just to teach and preach the truth of God's word, because it's so easy not to, isn't it? It's so easy to compromise. We don't have to be horrible people, but we can be truthful people. And as we minister God's truth, whether it's from this side or that side, then I suggest that that peace comes. Because we're ministering God's truth. We may be uncomfortable with the response, but there's a peace within us. Not an arrogance, but a peace that says, I've given what you've called me to give. Now I can retreat. So, the peacemaker. Think about a member of a family. Think about a street. Think about neighbours. Think about something where you can make a difference. Where you can say, Lord, because you've given it to me, I can give it to other people. Now, there's some people that are given that gift and some people that aren't, but we're all called to receive. So as you receive the peace that transcends all understanding, I suggest that you'll be able to give some of that away. So as we go through these fruits of the Spirit, they're fruits. They should be ever growing, and we should be ever being pruned and encouraged to bear much more in that fruit. So the fruit of the Spirit is peace, and I want us to have it so that we can share it with other people. I want us to receive it afresh so that we can give it to others as we look through what God is doing in us and through us. Because blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called the children of God. Who are those that are favoured? The children of God. Who are we? The children of God. So his peace rests upon those that he's given favour to. That's you and I. He wants us to walk in that fruit. He wants us to walk in that fruit of the Spirit. It says in Philippians 4:4, rejoice in the Lord always. I will say it again, rejoice. Let your gentleness be evident to all. The Lord is near. Do not be anxious about anything. That's difficult sometimes, isn't it? Or is it just me? We live in the world, but we're not of the world. We know that, don't we? You know, the thing is with Christians, we've got it both ways. Because God wins. If he answers our prayer, he wins. If he doesn't answer his prayer, it's his will, and we win anyway. But there's times where we know that we shouldn't be anxious, but we are. Anxiety comes. Do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation by prayer and petition. So if we feel anxious, how do we overcome anxiety? Well, I like to share with you what the Bible says. So there's a question, there's an implication, and there's an answer. So let me read it again. Rejoice in the Lord always. I will say it again. Rejoice. Let your gentleness be evident to all. The Lord is near. So he's going to help you in that. Do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your request to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds. In what? In Christ Jesus. So if we feel anxious, the anxiety is not the problem. It's what we do about it. So we can either draw close to God or we can draw far from him. But as we feel that anxiety come through prayer and petition, and this is the important bit with thanksgiving. If you just picture the feeding of the 5,000. Now, we took the small amount of fish and the small amount of bread, and it was given into the hands of the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. But what happened was this. Looking up to heaven, the scripture says, he took the little that he had and he gave thanks for it and then broke it and shared it amongst the multitudes. Now in the heavenlies, in the spiritual, I'm not suggesting that you're going to take one fish and multiply it. But what I am saying is if we take the small amount of anxiety that we have, we take the amount of pain that we have and we give thanks for who we are in Christ Jesus. Example. So you're going through a tough time and we go, Lord, I come before you in prayer. Father, take away this anxiety. Lord, instill in me a clean heart and renew a right spirit. Father God, I thank you for the grace that you've lavished upon me. Lord, I thank you for the family that you've given me. Lord, I thank you for the times that I've been able to be proved and disciplined and corrected and encouraged. Lord, I thank you that you've placed me in a family. Lord, I thank you that you've given me a purpose. Do you see the difference? Rather than, Lord, I just need help. It says here, not me, it says, do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. So, Lord, help me. Father, I want to experience that peace. It's a conversation, that's all I'm saying. It's a conversation which is a biblical conversation. If in Malachi the priests had done what the priests were supposed to do, they would not have suffered. They would be still walking in peace. But because they were disobedient, they were disapproved by God. God withheld his hand and they suffered. But for us in the New Testament, we've been given the grace of God. We've been given salvation through faith, through grace in Christ Jesus. So we have something to be thankful for. So I want to encourage us as we look at this fruit of the Spirit and bring it in a slightly different way than maybe you've heard before. But it's not just about that natural peace, it's that supernatural peace that will keep you when you're feeling anxious. And then try it. When you feel anxious, when you're feeling that peace is gone, find something to praise God about. Find something to give thanks for. You will be able to find something to give thanks for. Why? Because you are favored. You are favored. Why? Because you've been set free. Let's use our freedom to grow. Let's use our freedom to encourage. Let's use our freedom to pull other people out of the miry pit and into the hands of Jesus Christ. As we continue to look through scripture, in Luke 4:18, it says, the Spirit of the Lord is on me. This is Jesus talking. The Spirit of the Lord is on me because he has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. He sent me to proclaim freedom for the prisoners, recovery of sight for the blind, set the oppressed free, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor. Now his opportunity there was, the kingdom of heaven is near. The kingdom of heaven can be in you. The kingdom of heaven will give you peace. The kingdom of heaven will give you salvation. The kingdom of heaven will bring favor upon your life. God blesses and gives peace to those in which his favour rests. That's you and I and those that have accepted him as Lord and Saviour. Then he rolled up the scroll and gave it back to the attendant, sat down. And he said, that part's been fulfilled. So for us, I suggest that as we walk this walk, as we are encouraged by one another, as we examine what God's word says, as we go through the tough times in life, and if you've been a Christian any length of time, in fact, how many people have breath in their lungs? That's all of us. You've been through tough times then, haven't you? And it seems to be easy to talk about the peace of God. And it seems to be difficult to experience it, but it isn't difficult to experience it. We need to acknowledge that we've been given peace through the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ. But I don't feel like it has nothing to do with your feelings. It's about getting to that position where we can say, Lord, I want to walk in that peace. To live as Christ, to die as gain. Don't understand it. I don't understand it. Hopefully I'm not going to be there yet. But to live as Christ, keep doing what he's called me to do. To die as gain because I'll be with him. But in the natural, I don't understand it. When it comes to this peace that transcends all understanding, I don't understand it in its full entirety, but I want to walk in it. And I know that in my own life, there's been circumstances and situations where I've been a heap on the floor and brothers and sisters have come around me and picked me up and held my arms up. And then I got to a point where I could praise him. I got to a point where I know that I'm highly favored. And I got to a point where I can give thanks. And that peace comes into my life. But I go through times of turmoil, and so will you. But the fruit of the Spirit is for you to walk in. And for me to walk in. It's not for others, it's for you, it's for me. God wants us to walk in this fruit. You know, the love, the peace, the joy, he wants us to walk in peace. He wants us to walk in love. It says here in my final scripture in Romans 8, starting at verse 6, the mind governed by the flesh is death, and the mind governed by the Spirit is life and peace. So ask yourself, you know, when we talk about our minds being governed by the flesh, that's outside of God. And when we talk about the mind governed by the Spirit, that's in God. Are you in God? The answer is yes, I believe, because I don't see anyone that's not a Christian here. So this is for you and for me. And it doesn't suggest that it might be, it says it is. The mind governed by the Spirit is life and peace. What's ruling your life? What's ruling my life? If you're listening to this, what's ruling your life? Is the Lord Jesus Lord of your life? Do you say, here's my life, Lord, but don't touch my finances? Here's my life, Lord, but don't touch my marriage? Here's my life, Lord, but don't touch my relationships? Here's my life, Lord, but don't touch my workplace? Or is God the Lord of everything? Well, if he's the Lord of everything, he'll bring peace, even though you don't feel that you have it. Give thanks. Give thanks in all circumstances, the Bible says. Not for all circumstances, but in. Verse 7, the mind governed by the flesh is hostile to God, and it does not submit to God's law. That's why we'll never find peace if we're anti-Christ, if we're against what God calls us to do. Those priests in Malachi, they didn't walk in the peace of God because they were living contrary to God. They were doing the opposite of what God called them to do. All they had to do was be obedient and they would walk in the peace. And that's the same for us. You know, we need to acknowledge who we are, that we are highly favored. The mind governed by the flesh is hostile to God. It does not submit to God's will, nor can it do so. But those who are in the realm of the flesh cannot please God. You, however, don't you love how scripture is poetic? This is talking to Christians, to children of God, the favoured ones. Sounds awful, don't it? But you're a stinking rotten sinner, but you're not going to hell. There's the difference. Sorry. But we are, aren't we? We're all sinners, but we're not going to hell. We are favoured. But God's given it to us so that we can be humble. Yes, we can talk about it in this setting, but we're to be humble, not arrogant, not full of pride. As we draw near to him, you, however, are not in the realm of the flesh, but are in the realm of the Spirit. And then it says this big word, if indeed the Spirit of God lives in you. There's always an if in Scripture. If you follow my ways, if you repent, And it says, if indeed the Spirit of God lives in you, and if you believe the Spirit of God lives in you, this has all been for you. And if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, they do not belong to Christ. But if Christ is in you, then even though your body is subject to death because of sin, the Spirit gives life because of righteousness. And if the Spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead is living in you, listen, right? This is for us. And if the Spirit of God, of him who raised Jesus from the dead, is living in you, he who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies because of his Spirit who lives in you. Therefore, brothers and sisters, we have an obligation. But it is not to the flesh to live according to it. For if you live according to the flesh, you will die. But if by the Spirit you put to death the misdeeds of the body, you will live. For those who are led by the Spirit of God are the children of God. And the Spirit you receive does not make you slaves, so that you live in fear again. Rather, the Spirit you received brought about an adoption to sonship, daughtership, put it how you like. It's talking about us. And by him we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit himself testifies with our spirit that we are God's children. Now, if we are God's children, then we are heirs, heirs of God and co-heirs with Christ, if indeed we share in his sufferings, in order that we may also share in his glory. So when we look at scripture, there's a thread that runs from Genesis to Revelation, and it knits everything together. These are not just random portions of scripture to say what I want it to say. It's what scripture says, that if we live according to the Spirit, then we'll live. If we live according to the flesh, then we'll die. That's the simple message. But because we are favored, we are children of God, the Bible teaches us to keep short accounts, teaching us to pursue that peace that transcends all understanding, teaches us that even though we may be going through the storms of life, we can still get access to that peace. And that's the message that I want to give us today. That regardless to your lifestyles, regardless to the torment you may have gone through or may be going through, you can still experience that peace. And if you really want to just sum it up on how you can do this for yourself, is through prayer, supplication, with thanksgiving. So we'll invite our worship team, just close this part in prayer as they come up. And if you want to say amen, you can say amen. Because Father, we want to thank you. Thank you that we are fearfully and wonderfully made. Lord, even though we can go through tough times, even though there are decisions that we make that we know doesn't please you, we know that we can turn around. We know that we can repent and go the other way because we are favored, highly favored. We're set free. We live by the Spirit, not by the flesh. Even though we do fleshly things, we have the Spirit of truth living in us, pulling us back to the center of your plans and purposes. So, Lord, you know my mind. You know the walk I'm going through. You know the difficulties that I have. You know the anxieties that I suffer. You know me inside out. But, Father, I want to thank you that I am your child. I want to thank you that all things are possible through Christ Jesus. I want to thank you that I can give thanks, not for the circumstance, but in the circumstance, knowing that you go before me and that you are my rear guard. You're above me, you're beneath me, on my right and on my left. You're enabling me to walk through this shadowy life, knowing that I will fear no evil. So I give you thanks, Lord. Instill in me a clean heart. Renew a right spirit. Let me walk in that peace that transcends all understanding, that I can't understand, but I can experience. I ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.